My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to all the folks who are scared of commitment, scared of rejection. Scared of, also scared of hippos, because of course that matters a good amount. And shout out to the 346, who's scared of a Texans key injury.
Yes, we all are.
Yeah, I mean they're positioned pretty well to have to be able to manage that, but you don't want to get to that place at all. And hopefully, especially next week, or really practice today to start with, because those are the ones that really stink. The last practice before you end up getting on the plane, or in this instance, like, you know, gearing up for the game, and then you lose somebody. So definitely don't want to see that. Speaking of practice, the boys are practicing indoors, literally inside the stadium at NRG today. So that's going on here, and that'll get started actually within this hour.
Yeah, next 15 minutes.
Inside the stadium.
The stadium, yes, sir. Not just inside like the
that.
Bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, getting ready for the vibes
for the
of
vibes,
where you'll be.
Yeah.
You know, get a feel of where you are. Porcelain dolls are the worst. Okay. Yeah, you definitely
are. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. A lot of people are.
They're weird looking.
They're just weird.
They are weird looking. Let's go around the NFL fully, and I did want to start here with a former teammate of Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson has clearly been in the news for multiple things. One of them is being very bad at football. The other one is another allegation coming out of forcible sexual assault. And, you know, Figgy, you were mentioning the idea that Deshaun Watson was asked about, his teammates trusting him, and he said that they should trust him because of his aura.
He has an aura.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, what the hell
does
that mean?
It's a good reason to trust
Bryant?
Someone. Yeah.
Right, like, what does that actually mean? the quote, they know my energy, they know my character, they know my aura, and I bet they do. And after that, Jonathan Wilkins, former running back in the NFL, he had played for the Browns with Deshaun Watson. He took that quote that had been tweeted out by ML Football on Twitter, and he put it on his Instagram with a quote that says, "Yeah, yeah, sure, bro. Watch the next slide and y'all tell me." And this was the final preseason game to make the roster. The next slide on his Instagram was a handoff that was supposed to go to Jordan Wilkins. There was a fumble in the backfield, and Wilkins put on as a quote on this. And then he went to the sideline and told the coaches, "I didn't know the play." And then it happened again the next drive. So calling out that man's acumen and ability to run plays and no plays.
Yeah.
And saying that, yeah, man.
And did you see the handoff?
The handoff was not good.
It was a bad handoff.
I will say that there is something to be said, and I was never a running back, so I'll say this with a grain of salt, but I'm pretty sure that when you're receiving a handoff, that you're supposed to have the hand on the side hand, up, and he had the other hand up. I have seen some players do that, though, so I'm like, I don't know how rigorous that is in the NFL, but regardless, not a good handoff, and not the first time that we've heard that Deshaun Watson maybe not good at some of the understanding of the game elements of playing quarterback.
Yeah, and I think he's not alone. I think a lot of players, you start giving them the old truth serum, or they get a little distance away from Deshaun Watson, and they start saying similar things, if not publicly, definitely, maybe off the record or something.
That kind of makes sense, though, because when we seen him here at his high times, it seemed like his best plays was off script. It wasn't like, I know it was Bill O'Brien, so take that with a grain of salt, but yeah. But it seemed like some of his best plays was just, improv type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe he do have a hard time trying to understand the plays and the verbiage of it or something like that. I don't know.
That or it might be even more insidious. Like, how good is he with these concepts? Like, we see that they could basically only really use him in shotgun, right? You get him under center, it does not quite work in the ways that you want to. Like, it limits the ways that you go about this. Plus, can I take you to the Browns where we talk about Kevin Stefanski's system that I think any smart football mind will probably tell you is a pretty good quarterback-friendly system. In those situations, he has not been able to operate well, and we've had all sorts of dudes step in and be able to operate that system well.
Yeah, like, one dude stepped off the couch, got up off the couch and got in that system and looked pretty good.
They're cooked with him, aren't they?
They're cooked.
Yeah.
And what I think is really being revealed here, and it's not – like today, I mean, it's been we've seen this for a long time. He just tries to pull the wool over everyone's eyes. He tried to pull the wool, and he's been pretty successful at it. But then exposed, like, just in terms of the real person, we know that story. But also maybe like his acumen, for picking up offense. Like, he talks a good game, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, I could see where he could. Somebody once told me that Deshaun Watson, somebody who knew him very well, can walk into a boardroom or a locker room or the Galleria, and I forget what else they said, kind of like, basically they said, a rough neighborhood. They might have even said hood. And which, whatever,
Yeah, all right.
Which, whatever. But they told me, and be able to convince everyone in each of those different environments.
His aura.
Pretty much, but convince them that he's the real deal. Like, doesn't matter if it's millionaires or billionaires or just some dude on the corner, he can convince those people, but it's not really him. So I could see where he could convince coaches, coming out in the draft, or maybe, someone like Stefanski, I got this. I speak the language, so to speak, of this offense, and then not fully grasp it.
Yeah. Because everything he's been, we've seen him do was broken down plays and him scrambling and making some crazy throws, man.
Okay, well, good luck to the Browns. Not the Texans' problem. As we continue talking about quarterbacks being knocked down in various ways, 49ers-Vikings is a matchup coming up this weekend, and that has, I don't know if that has intrigue for you. I mean, Sam Darnold handled his own.
It does a little bit. It does.
Like, one of the better QBRs, one of the better quarterback performances. Mm-hmm. Actually, if I get a little nerdy, completion percentage over expected, right? Mm-hmm. So who completed a higher percentage above what was the expected from what they were going with? Sam Darnold had a really good week in that regard, a lot of different ways. And so he's going to be something to watch. However, Niners are not an easy team to deal with. And apparently, D'Amador Lenore, who is on that Niners defense, is not all too worried. Because clearly they were teammates last year. Yeah. Sam Darnold backed up Brock Purdy. And Lenore said, I think I'm going to win that for sure, when he talked about the matchup there. I believe I win because me and Sam, we have this connection where he liked to throw me the ball. So this week, I'm coming. He know it. Close quote.
This connection where he throws me the ball.
How do you like that as like a little bit of trash talk ahead of the week?
That's high quality trash talk right there. That's some high quality trash talk. And Darnold, that is what Darnold is. I use this term a lot. Sometimes he'll throw the ball right to you. Sam Darnold is that guy. But to your point, I mean, this game does have a little intrigue to me. I think it, the Niners, let's see with McCaffrey and such, but then, we'll see from the other side with Darnold.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So another thing that's happening around the NFL, we got news. Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. I don't like calling him Hollywood Brown because I don't think he deserves that nickname.
He's not a real Hollywood guy.
He's Marquise. Marquise Brown. I was like, I feel like you got to be better to get a nickname like Hollywood. Yeah.
Well, it was in college.
It was cool in college.
He got the nickname.
It was cool in college.
Yeah, shout out to Gus Johnson.
Hollywood.
But yeah, Marquise Brown. He's on IR. Like, that was one of the big acquisitions, if you can call it big. But like, it was useful because of the wide receiving core that the Chiefs have. They added Marquise Brown, who has been a solid wide receiver in this NFL. And it's like, yo, they needed any dude who could step onto that field and be a wide receiver in the NFL. He'll miss 4 weeks after going onto the IR. And so with that being the case, seems like there's going to be even more pressure on the guys that, you know, the principals that we know were going to be important. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. Like, how comfortable do you feel with that from the Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs are feeling pretty dang comfortable after the performances they saw in week one. You'd like to have him rather than not, of course. But, you know, Worthy's just going to get more and more touches. He's earned them, more and more opportunities. And Rashee Rice, you know, you couldn't have asked for a better opening performance from him.
That's right. Yeah. And honestly, Xavier Worthy, too. They utilize him really
He's going to
well.
Get a lot of touches.
Although one of his opponents was like, hey, man, Xavier Worthy, he just runs straight. He's fast.
Who was that?
But he just runs straight. I saw that, and I already forgot who the defender was.
What do you think of Worthy? He's fast when he goes straight.
which isn't that what we heard about DK Metcalf early on? He's found a way to get things done. Now, of course, DK Metcalf, different beast, right? Yeah. Like, same animal, different beast when we talk about run fast and straight, but also he's brolic. Why are you so strong, right? Yeah. Like, that's a different element of this. But it'll be interesting to see just how Andy Reid, with, you know, that particular, you know, toy at his disposal, continues to use him, especially if, you know, teams feel like they have some level of beat on the idea that maybe he's not going to hit you with a whole bunch of complex route trees, but if he's just going to hit you with speed.
Yeah, I think he's a big problem in the AFC, to be honest. And that's just based off of one game, but boy, what a game he had, and what a display he put on.
So I wasn't listening, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. The TV was doing a little bit of funny business with the Prime Video for me. However, I was watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear this. I believe you were indeed watching the entirety of the game.
I was.
With Herb Street and Al Michaels going. It seems like at some point Kirk Herb Street expressed his concern over technology, particularly AI, saying, quote, "I'm afraid AI is going to get into our brains." Oh, sorry, that was Al Michaels. And speaking, obviously, of like the generative AI trend that we've seen more and more.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how did that hit you when it happened? Did you end up hearing this live?
I didn't hear that part.
Okay.
I didn't hear that part live, but I've since seen that he said that, obviously. And how did it hit me? I mean, I think it was kind of like old man kind of stuff. You know, I think that it's something that he probably should get a better grasp of.
I do love that Kirk Herbstreit basically was sat silent for a little bit, and like, then came back with,
"Yeah,
already got you." What was he thinking in that moment? Like, do I help assuage his fears or do I try and poke at him? Because it seems like he went with the latter. Like,
yeah,
it's already here, buddy.
It's already.
They already
that's
got
what
you.
I was thinking, man. But that's somebody that could probably not have to deal with AI at all.
Everybody's dealing with it.
But he already is, in a way, dealing with it. Didn't he sign a deal with
the Olympics?
With NBC for the Olympics, where they could use his voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
An AI copy of his voice to do individualized recaps of a day's worth of Olympic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's already in that place.
Yeah, he probably didn't realize it. Which is why Kurt pretty much said what he said.
Already got you, buddy. Yeah. Look, AI, you know, it's not like you can not make it happen. So you better learn all you can about it and how it's going to be useful and maybe not.
Oh, so you're going with the defeatist perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Or because you're gonna be lost in the sauce.
Exactly. Right. It's here.
It's here. All right. One more thing before we go around the NFL. I did mention that those players that maybe in fantasy football have lost their quarterbacks, I imagine Daniel Jones is out there for you.
Oh, Lord.
Because
why would you wish that upon someone?
He has not been good. He's not been good at all. Obviously, the quarterback making $40 million a season has not lived up to the expectations that seem to be carried with that type of paycheck. And we've talked about the fact that Giants fans are waiting outside the stadium demanding parts of his paycheck as penance for his play. Well, apparently there's one person that still is riding for DJ if no one else is going to ride for Daniel Jones. And his name is Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley was asked after practice one of these days about if he had reached out to, you know, his friend Daniel Jones, former teammate, after a very tough outing in the Giants opener. He said, quote, "Yes, I talked to him. I'm really good friends with DJ. Obviously, I didn't go to the game that he didn't have the game that he wanted. For me, was just letting him know that just go out there, play free," he said on what he told Daniel Jones. Do you like this? You like this from Saquon?
I love it. No, I do. You don't?
You believe him that he's like out here? Like, no, hey, man, you'll be fine. Just go out here and play free.
I do believe him, and maybe I'm naive because he's in a happy place.
He's like, I went out.
That's how it always is.
When I got to a better relationship. I hope you find yours.
You got a better girl, and that girl's struggling.
Yes.
Oh, she have a wonderful heart.
No, I think that's exactly what it is. I think he's absolutely sincere. Like, he's getting money.
She been through a lot.
He's on a squad.
Yep.
He got out of New York.
Three touchdowns?
Yeah, he's got three touchdowns. I don't think he had ever had a bad relationship with Daniel Jones. He just was, he could see the writing on the wall. He knew, I made him that money. You know?
He sure did. I was so amazed when they gave him that 4-year 160, and I was like, why would you do that when you could just give that money to Saquon, who clearly made all of this
exactly
happen?
I think he was
sincere. You probably shouldn't give him Saquon $40 million. That might be a little much, but
I think it was absolutely sincere.
I thought that was funny,
especially now, like, to Figgy's point, it's like, okay, I'm happier now. I don't wish any ill will. And they were around each other a lot.
They were. They were. I mean, I guess I shouldn't imply that they aren't like real friends or anything like that, right? Like, he probably does mean that well. If you're Daniel Jones and living the way that you are in this moment, how much does that help you that Saquon over there is having his best life? He's like, it'll get better. You just keep being you.
Hell, opposing players said they felt sorry for him. Did you see that story this week?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, some of the opposing players from Sunday were saying they felt sorry for him by the end of the game.
In a sport that's so competitive and can be, have a lot of machismo like football mm-hmm. does, that's got to be real.
That's the worst insult you could
get. That's got to feel real bad.
Oh, man. Let's just let up on him a little bit.
He's gone through enough, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Get better, Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. All right, man. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Looking at NRG Stadium, it does look like they're doing some work on that roof because, I mean, the expectation was that the roof will be all the way done for
is
Sunday
it open?
Night, right?
Tonight.
Is it open now?
It's open. Yes, it's open okay. right
it
now.
It is open. Just keep at it this open. Moment.
Yeah.
So, look, we're not sure if the roof will be open for Sunday Night Football. That would be a
It's
cool
probably
look,
not. Though.
We'll see what that
more than likely. More than likely.
We'll get more information over the weekend because typically that we'll get that maybe day before
probably
or day
tomorrow.
Of the game. All right. Matt Burke, defensive coordinator for your Houston Texans, talked yesterday. Obviously, gave us a little insight into what they're going to do when it comes to Caleb Williams and maybe some of the issues that you saw with allowing potential deep plays. We'll talk about that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you on a Football Friday. Headed into very exciting.
Exciting Football
Friday.
There you
Friday. Go. Your microphone should be on. Yeah. Indeed. we're all on and popping excited for AI Sunday Night it. Football. All right.
Okay. Hey, you better be quiet. Yeah, don't be AI taking
don't start
your spot.
Giving ideas. Yeah. All right, man. Matt Burke, defensive coordinator for this Texas team, spoke to the media yesterday. And I found this to be interesting. Obviously, now we can talk to these coordinators about we have games that we have some things that we've seen. And then also we have another game that we're leading into. And I did want to start here because I think I've expressed this and mm-hmm. I hope that you've gotten the full extent of the impression from me that the big plays, obviously there was 350 plus yard plays by the Colts. Some of those you could say were maybe, all right, jump balls, those types of things. But for me, it was the possibilities of big plays that were absolutely there that gave me a little trepidation mm-hmm. going forward. I was like, is that something that's going to be a feature of this defense? Is that something we're going to have to be concerned about? Matt Burke definitely spoke to that, and this is cut for Fig. The idea of, are some of the deep plays easily correctable?
Anytime you put anything on tape that, whether someone thinks that it's something they did or something we did, you know, that they're going to try to take advantage of those things. So, obviously, you know, we shouldn't be in those positions. I mean, a couple of them are 50-50 balls, and we just got to make some plays and maybe technique-wise put ourselves in a better position to make those plays, you know what I mean, where you're not going backwards or going forwards or however we want it done. But, we're always trying to correct the things that, whether it's the deep balls, the run game, any of that stuff. So I would anticipate people trying to test us on things until we prove that it's not a good route to take for us.
And they will. And, you know, that's the big takeaway. Your biggest concern is my biggest concern. The deep balls, the freakish 65-yarders and that type stuff, you hate to just kind of, dismiss it, mm-hmm. but it's going to happen. But the wide open.
Yeah.
You know, the wide open that they missed.
Yeah, dudes running with 10, 20 yards of green grass around them. That's problematic, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that it's reminiscent of is if you've gone back and watched the Bears game from week one, like in the same way that Anthony Richardson missed some of those.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams missed some of those, but they were able to get some of those guys mm-hmm. open into some green grass. So, again, if that's something that, you know, they're capable of doing. Shane Waldron and the offense continues to get some guys into green grass.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is something that's going to really give me concern because teams, like Matt Burke said, like, if you're scouting a team, especially a team like the Texans, and you go, oh, that might be a weakness, especially if it's chunk plays, big plays, what mm-hmm. everybody's trying to get, yeah, you're damn right you're going to go and try and test them on that. So I love that he's like, look, man, we just got to be better about it. And so I do love that he has that attitude, but I need to know that he feels confident that they will. And I don't know that he necessarily said that from a position of, oh, it'll definitely get fixed. It's more of a challenge.
No, he says he expects
it. Hey, let's go.
Yeah, he expects it. And by the way, side note that's relatively important here is we talked about how the Texans the Texans injury report and who's practicing and who's not, and we'll get that to you here probably within the next few minutes, is important. So too is the Bears. So too is the Bears injury report, because two receivers who can do that, Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen, didn't participate in their practice yesterday. So that could play into what we're talking about here and how they're going to get open in some of these situations.
And as we're talking about these things, when it comes to leading in, since I've seen some practice notes coming out, because the team is on the field at NRG, like in the stadium practicing. Dalton Schultz is practicing today.
There we go.
So that means that he's back in the possibility and the probability, if we're going to be completely honest, of playing on Sunday.
No, he'll play now. I can almost promise you.
Some guys who seem to not practice, Juice Scruggs, dealing with the groin thing, he's not practicing. Damian Pierce dealing with the hamstring, he seems to not be practicing at this point. So those things are happening right now. So that's something to watch as we lead further and further towards Sunday's game. But going back to Matt Burke, mentioned Caleb Williams. He is he's the feature of what we're talking about here. He's the quarterback, the number one overall pick. He's all eyes on him when it comes to the Chicago Bears offense. He was asked about facing a quarterback like Caleb Williams, the particular style that he brings, and a quarterback that can make plays off script like he does.
Yeah. I mean, that's like literally, I would say, as much as we talked about the front rushing a guy like that, like it's a little bit on them to try to limit some of those like exposures. But in the back end, you talk about plastering and sort of the second play within the play. You know, it's okay, you match something up and you have a route concept that you've done some film study on. Maybe Kalen has and sees something and jumps it, or we take it away. Now that breaks down. Then it's, I don't want to say it's street ball, but then it's like, okay, now we've got to find our matchups and plaster, not give those open throws, because he does a really good job of having his eyes downfield. Once he gets out and breaks, he's looking to throw the ball. So, I would say the back-end guys have our front-end guys, their job is to try to not let some clean escapes like that, and then try to make it hard for him to find those ways out. And then the back-end guys, if it does happen, we got to match up and plaster. And so, and like you said, at that point, it's really just trying to find the guy close. And you try to have some rules of, like, where you're looking in your zones or where the matchups happen. Just, again, you can't just have free runners. It's kind of breaking free. So, you try to drill that as much as you can in practice. It tends to be somewhat improvised on game day, so you can't really like 100% lock that down. But broken record this, like, we just try to, within our coverages, be in the right spots, and if we rush properly, we hopefully limit those opportunities.
And those are the biggest opportunities that you want to protect against, right? I mean, I feel like Caleb Williams in the pocket, you know, planting the back foot, letting it go. I feel like the Texans have something of an advantage there, just because he's a rookie. He missed some throws, as you mentioned, some wide open throws, and some others as well in his debut. And the Texans are going to bring all kinds of different looks and off the edge and all. So if he's in the pocket, I feel like the Texans might have something of an advantage. I think they do have an advantage. When he starts moving around, Caleb Williams, and you get those runners downfield, as he's talking about, especially in the middle of the field, that's where the Texans maybe are going to be a little more susceptible.
Yeah, I mean, because just defensively, those are the things that are more difficult, right? No longer do you have the basis and the safety blanket that is a full defensive play that is built on, different players supporting each other to the point where now we have this whole thing covered. It becomes, as he mentions, a street ball, right? Mm-hmm. And now this is just pitch and catch. Now we're in almost something that's similar to like one-on-ones where the offense takes back the advantage, especially with a guy like Caleb Williams, who that is the easier part of it. That is where you're no longer thinking. That is where now you're just kind of reacting and reacting. And he has the talent at least to be able to do that for sure. Mm-hmm. He has the ability to move around, and then he has the arm talent to be able to get the ball to where he wants to. And that's different than having to, be very cognizant of your drop and, manage the pocket and read the defense. Like, at that point, you're just like,
it's his comfort zone.
See dude throw it, and that's where you really open him up to the possibility.
Yeah, everybody talks about, this isn't unique. Like, a quarterback out of the pocket that is mobile is always dangerous.
100%.
But I think, in this case, he's going to be comfortable in that environment because he's done it so many times at every level. Whereas in the pocket, it's going to be relatively new with what they're going to be showing him,
Yeah, and I'm super excited for the challenge that is, and I use challenge like in a very general sense, for the defensive line, particularly the ends, on making sure, hey, keep him in there. Keep him in that that pocket that is supposed to be kind of a protective place, but it kind of can be a little bit of a prison if you play it properly and, you know, not allow those plays to extend to where now your defense is having, your secondary is having to cover for 4 or 5 seconds. That's always a problem no matter what team you're playing against. Some other things that Matt Burke talked about, he was asked specifically about the defensive tackles, right? What's allowed Edwards and Fatukasi to flourish so quickly in the defense?
For all the D linemen and interior guys especially, like, we just try to make it really simple. And those guys both have embraced playing our style. Again, I think I said this specifically about Mario, but just like as quickly as I've seen. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for veteran players that haven't played this style to really adapt to it. It can be counterintuitive if you're used to reading blocks and playing blocks and being at the line of scrimmage and just trying to anchor and do those type of things, and then we're telling you like not to do any of that, just to get off and go. And so this sometimes it takes players longer. I remember Javon Hargrave was a great player. Now when we first got him in Philly from Pittsburgh, and that transition took him 4 or 5 weeks maybe, and then once he hit it, you saw like the second half of his first year, and then he became obviously the player he's become in the system. So I think those two guys have actually kind of taken to those techniques. I mean, Foley had a little history with it in New York, but just they've embraced just sort of the attack mentality and to get off, and it sort of freed them up to just use their physical tools to be good. And I think that showed last week, and hopefully they continue on that track. And they have been pretty consistent in what they've been asking them to do.
I thought this one I was just sort of like, you know, in my head, not literally shaking my fist in the air, because this was the best, most candid representation of what D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke have brought to this defense. Like, these guys, and you heard him just say it right there, they're like, do this, hold this, take this blocker, take these blockers, go across this blocker's face, free things up, and then play football. And all of a sudden, these two guys in the middle, and others, but I mean, we're talking about Fatukasi and Mario Edwards, they've just been told, go.
Yeah.
Like that is the epitome of what D'Amico Ryans came in preaching. You know, think less, play more, attack more, swarm, as he's often talked about. And this is also one of probably the most encouraging things about this defense, not only because Danico Autry's on his way in 5 more weeks, but because the defensive tackles are going to be a big factor on this defense. You know, they're going to be, they had both sacks. You know, this was a great sort of hint and look at what they're doing on the defensive line of scrimmage.
Yeah, freeing your players to make plays, like the natural ability. It's one of the things that's beauty when you have dudes of a certain talent is, hey, man, we trust your talent.
Go.
We don't want to allow you to just go. I mean, shout out to the 832 who's feeling a 6-8 sack game. That is a possibility. The interior of the offensive line for the Bears last week was not good. Mm-hmm. And now, admittedly, that's a Titans defense that is pretty solid, but I mean, hell, the way that the Texans, that's a dollar.
Oh, man.
Oh boy, that's nasty. Real nasty. Man, that is real nasty.
What are we going to do with this money?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's going to be donated for
buy
sure.
A book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be donated. That was nasty.
Goodness, that was nasty work.
Yeah. My bad.
I feel dirty.
But the way that this Texans defensive line showed in week one, like they have a capability of one playing at a high level akin to what the Titans were able to do against the Bears. So yeah, I do think that there's going to be a lot of pressure. And if you are, again, if you're able to contain Caleb Williams, you could put him in places where now everybody's bearing down on him.
Yeah.
And you have the guys that have the capability, especially because we're not talking about Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr.'s dudes who are very good at doing that and pressuring the quarterback. Real quick before we go, I do want to play this because I do want to give some love for Kalen Bullock, the safety. It seems like he's gotten a lot of love from the coaches, and he might get love in terms of playtime, PT. This was Matt Burke talking about Kalen Bullock for this defense.
Yeah, I think we've talked about Kalen a few times here. His history as a deep field player in college and what he did there and sort of just has a pretty innate understanding of those type of positions on the field and how to take advantage of those. He made plays in the balls in college. He made plays in the balls in training camp. And obviously week one, he made plays in the balls there. So I do think he has a pretty good feel from those sort of deep zone areas and where he's fitting. And then, you know, as you get to this level and start, formation recognition and what routes you're getting out of those formations, I think that's probably what he's, alluding to in terms of just like studying the film now. And now that's the second level of, okay, I know where I'm supposed to be now. What am I expecting from pre-snap formations or what I'm getting there. And I think, you know, that kind of heightens your anticipation of what you're getting and can maybe put you in a cleaner position to make those breaks. So it was a good start for him. Excited to see him again this week.
And you can just feel it, right? Like, it's happening right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the guy back there. Like I don't think there's any question. And you can just feel it in what he's saying. You know, obviously we've seen it on the field. Now, I'm not saying he's going to start and play every snap this week.
But he's speaking to how early, yes. Like how much this is just kind of
innate. It's happening right before our eyes.
Like this, what we're seeing right now from Caleb Bullock looking good is almost innate. It's like, hey, once we arm him and, you know, kind
and he
of
learns a little more.
Load him up with more information on what you're seeing and being able to, like, know what's coming, not just, you know, feel what's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, he could be a real
problem. By the way, he's really looking for a dollar to put in there, Figgy, so.
I got to hit the ATM. Don't worry. I got
a dollar for you. I'll let you borrow a dollar.
Team effort. I appreciate that. Yeah, I got to square it up. I will square it up for you fine folks because I want to make sure I'm good. I'm always trying to pay my debts. But there you go. Matt Burke talking about this defense as they face off against or get ready to face off against the Bears, feeling good about the way that they match up. And I did appreciate, especially when it comes to the way that he spoke to you know, big play possibilities that we saw. They're gonna be tested, but they're up for the challenge. All right, coming up next in the loop, Sports Radio 610, let's get into what's popping, including an Astros series finished off against the A's as they head over to Anaheim. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right. Again, apologies for that one word that I said last segment. If you don't know what it was, don't even worry about it.
I'm going to have to start dumping it, man.
We were just talking about that. Button. We were just talking about, like, just dump it. Yeah, save the guy a buck.
Somebody said, no. I'll pay my debts.
You won a long time, though. You were strong. I thought it was out of your system.
Yeah. And I was close. Like, it was one of those where I felt it, and I was trying to grab it before it left, but it didn't.
The harder thing is the phone number. But you've nailed the phone number.
Yeah. I think the phone number I've gotten down.
Yeah.
713-572-4610. That's the place that you could text. All right. So yesterday during the broadcast, we had the good fortune of being able to watch the Astros face off against the A's in what was a getaway game, finishing off a 3-game set and trying very, very much so to avoid a sweep to the Oakland A's. It still sounds funny, even though we know it to be something that is a reasonable one, right? And in the course of the game, there was a couple of shots. Obviously, Jason Hayward goes deep. That was fun to watch. But then also, this man, Big John Singleton, did his thing.
There's a ball to center field, a 3-hit game, and the go-ahead RBI for Singleton in the bottom half of the 8th inning. Big John having a big Thursday.
He's been pretty solid himself. As you heard, 3-for-4, a couple of runs and an RBI in the course of that. He puts the go ahead run on the board, and the Astros do indeed get that win, 6-3. In fact, I have to pay for this one? The Rangers did a solid for the Astros.
No,
as well.
Not at all, because that's what we were watching.
Yeah, they beat the Mariners last night, and so that gives the Astros that expands that lead by a game there. Back up to, I believe, 4.5.
Yeah.
And so that's great before you head out to Anaheim and get going there.
I mean, you were staring 2.5. You were staring a 2.5 game lead in the face because let's not kid ourselves. When Ryan Pressly gave up that lead, ask any Astros fan, or I'll ask you right now, what were you thinking? You know, Astros were up, I believe, 2-1. Pressly gives up that lead. It's 2-2. I was thinking it. I was like, oh, Lord.
Here it goes.
Oh, Lord.
There's the ebb and flow on this division race has been a level of stressful for me that I don't think it should be.
Yeah.
But I guess that is the division that you're dealing with this year. Again, I think we all operate, I don't want to speak for everyone, with a perspective where it's like, I think that we know that the Astros will win this. But I'd like to know for certain.
Yeah,
I'd like to know for certain, right? It's nice to then, you know, expand that thing back out for the Astros, 4.5. And so they keep on moving. Obviously, I think we heard yesterday that the plan is for Kyle Tucker to play
this weekend.
Right field this weekend.
Starting today.
And looking for that. And then we also kind of got the confirmation when it comes to, or like the continued information when it came to Altuve that, you know, they did test. He seems okay.
Yeah.
And so, for the time being, we might have dodged a bullet there when it comes to the Astros and a further injury.
Yeah, we'll find out. The thing I liked about yesterday's game is not just that, you know, as I just mentioned, I went, oh boy. They did come back. They did put a big number up. They did close it out. And all the thanks, this is good news here. The bottom of the order. The bottom of the order, the 6 through 9 batters, they were 7 for 17, man. And all 6 RBI, and 4 of them scored at least a run. 4 of them scored a run. So that was big to see. And then we gotta start talking a lot more about Yonner Diaz, man. I mean, he's putting together, frankly, one of the best seasons offensively and defensively that Major League Baseball has seen. From a catcher in the last few years.
Batting .301.
Yeah.
7.78 OPS. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's probably most impressive for me personally, catching, but then also playing first base a good amount because of the way that your lineup is situated, the way that you're trying to get various people at bats, and the way that your first base you don't have somebody there that is holding on to that and holding down that spot. Like, it's incredible the versatility and flexibility that he's demonstrating while also giving you solid production at the plate.
At the plate, 81 RBI. I mean, this is your catcher, guys. The last player, and he went over 300 by going 3 for 4 last night. So he's batting .301, 16 home runs, 81 RBI. Buster Posey is the last player, the last catcher to do that in 2015.
That is incredibly high praise, putting a catcher in with Buster Posey.
I'm saying, but he's the last one to do that.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like that's high praise, I think.
Yeah.
For Yainer Diaz. So like impressive showing for him. And we move to the Anaheim series.
Big weekend for Justin Verlander, man.
Yeah, I mean, this
big
is
big weekend.
This would be what? There's 2 more or 3 more?
3 more, including tonight is Kikuchi time. Boy, that sounds funny. Tonight is Kikuchi time.
No, I just wanted to let it read. That's right. I agree for different reasons.
I mean, you know, fingers crossed. But beyond that, Verlander tomorrow against Tyler Anderson, and a big outing for Verlander on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, win, loss, whatever, right? Yeah. I think that one is more about, is he putting the mechanics together? Because that ultimately is the question. Especially if I circle back to the idea of we feel comfortable that this team will have will be in the postseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, what do you have in the postseason? And figuring out if Verlander is going to have his stuff together in the nicest way that I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be important, because as we talked about with Spo earlier in the week, it might be he either has his stuff together and is in the playoff roster, or he's just not, and that could be such a wild thing to think about.
And it's almost like if he doesn't bounce back and show a better performance on Saturday, then you just have 2 starts left. I mean, how much do you even consider the last 2? You know, I guess you have to some if he really lights it up. But, man, you're down to 2 starts to determine your postseason pitching roster?
Yeah. Also excited for the weekend for me personally. Sunday, you get Ronel Blanco back into the rotation. So that'll be fun. There you go. That's the Astros update. We mentioned the Dolphins maybe possibly having to look for a quarterback. You've done the research on what quarterbacks are out there, because we talked about, pretty jokingly, to be completely honest, the idea of maybe they come calling for Davis Mills, and somebody was like, get somebody better. I don't know how much better there is out there.
Well, here's your list, Figgy. I think it begins and ends with Ryan Tannehill. He's at the top of the list. I think that's going to be where... Because, by the way, this morning, Mike McDaniel said Skylar Thompson is going to be their starting quarterback, but we are going to add another quarterback. He said that this morning. So they're going to bring in someone. Ryan Tannehill, Ben DiNucci, Blaine Gabbert. How does that grab you?
Blaine Gabbert is probably another one that seems like a possibility.
Yeah. Matt Barkley, Trevor Siemian, Mike White's on Buffalo's practice squad.
Although Mike White, for some reason, has stepped up in small doses and actually done something interesting.
Yeah.
But,
This next one kind of intrigues me, and I don't know why.
No, are you for real?
I don't know why.
You lying.
I don't know why. Desmond Ridder. Nathan Peterman.
Not the Peterman.
Tyler Huntley. Trey Lance is out there.
Trey Lance would be such a bad move. His whole thing is he has not played enough football. He's not, like, the guy that you're looking for here is a veteran who knows how to just step in, has played enough football to where learning an offense isn't going to be the craziest thing for them. And also, and look, I know that we've all done kind of like the almost paternalistic thing of, well, Tua needs to not play football. Yeah. If he wants to come back from football, once he has made it out of the concussion protocol, I don't know how long that'll take, 3, 4 weeks, I don't know. Just wild speculation by me. you also don't want to have somebody that then makes it a little tough, or not that they would stop him, but mm-hmm. like that, you know, you're not going to have someone that's is going to like take that spot for a long period of time is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And Josh Dobbs kind of intrigues me a little bit as well.
Maybe.
A little bit.
The Pastronaut?
Yeah, yes, exactly. So that's the list. I'll just say this again. I'm not saying I don't think the Texans would ever do it. There's too much on the line with this squad, but you take the call. If they call,
you take any call.
If they,
yeah,
is what you do with the
just
call.
See how stupid they get.
If you entertain the call,
that would be my answer. Hey man, we're calling about Davis Mills. All right, how stupid do you want to be?
But what's tough is with the expectations that the team had, and I mentioned this before, like making sure that you have some level of defense there for if CJ Stroud misses a possession, or if CJ Stroud, knock on wood, misses a game, right? Like having that protection matters for the high expectations that the team has. This weekend, college football slate, mm-hmm. yay or nay? Because it's looking like it might be some mid.
The schedule is mid, as you put it, but I kind of have called this the danger zone week in college football. Now, let me explain it, and let's start with one that's very local here. A&M is playing Florida. Either one of those teams that loses, it's going to go off the rails.
Ah, for the season, I guess?
Oh, come on.
I feel like Elko having his first, this being Elko's
for
first
the
season.
For the season, yes.
I think this being Elko's first season, there's a lot more room for, a lot more wiggle room, understanding that you're coming in and cleaning up somebody's
mess. There will be. But what I'm saying is there were expectations here.
Sure.
There were expectations.
There are no more year zeros in college football. You're expected to come in and immediately make an impact with the amount of ways that you can turn over
and
a roster.
And with Wegman and all that stuff.
They did decide to stick with Wegman.
Yeah, so it's a danger zone game for A&M. It's even more of a danger zone for Florida.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Billy Napier might be out of there already, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and they're at home. And their schedule gets pretty dicey as well.
Is the most interesting game, at least for me it is, and maybe I'm biased, but I think the most interesting game might be tonight.
That's one of them.
Arizona, sure. Kansas State.
Yeah, Arizona, K-State's going to be a good game. No real danger zone for either one of those squads other than, you know, maybe aspirations that they might have. That's going to be one good Friday night with some college football. Sure, man, sign me up. Arkansas is in a danger zone because their coach is in somewhat of trouble. They blew it, like flat out blew it against Oklahoma State. And then after they face, you know, after this week, they go to Auburn. They face A&M in Dallas, and then they have Tennessee. So that's a danger zone kind of game. And you know what? A couple of others real quick here. Notre Dame, like we were like, oh, they're in the playoffs
against Purdue.
There, dude. Like
we can't do any of those after last week.
No, I was talking to Sean Pendergast about this as we all know he's a Notre Dame fan and alumnus, and I was saying I think that's an interesting game, and he said yes, it is. Like they're going to Purdue. Purdue had a week off to prepare. They won 52-0 or something in their opener. You would think, okay, Notre Dame's going to be in there and take care of business. If they slip, they can't go to a postseason with two losses. No. They can't go to a postseason with two losses.
Even especially, a 12-team,
especially those two losses. And then the last one for me, I don't think this is going to happen, but it's a rivalry game. I think Colorado State stinks, but Colorado.
The environment will be fun to start because Colorado State, after what happened last year and because of all the hoopla, this will be on CBS. And the only reason it's on CBS is the exact reason why you think it's on CBS. Prime, Coach Prime, as they say. Yeah. 713 asked if DJ Lagway starting for Florida. I don't know if he's starting, but Napier,
he's going to play.
Yeah, Napier made it clear that he's going to utilize both of those quarterbacks. You know what they say about having two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Best of luck in that regard. All right, man, that's what's popping here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Bobby Slowick also spoke to the media ahead of this game. Let's see what he had to say about this offense going in. We'll talk about it next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.